Encampments are growing in Halifax, and the city doesn't seem to know what to do about it. A student self-immolates in Red Deer, but details are slim. The cost of baby formula has jumped by 30% in 2 years. India heads to the polls for the world's largest election, and the U.S. deports Haitians to Haiti, despite the collapse of civil institutions and a rise in violence there. Good morning. It's Friday, April 19th. I'm Nora, coming to you from the fitness center of a hotel in Edmonton because my room is too loud to record in. Here are your headlines. We start this morning in Halifax, where Kaylee Stevens from Global News is reporting that the encampments are over capacity and, quote, municipal officials are growing concerned about what to do about it, unquote. Growing concerned, eh? The city had designated 5 locations for the encampments, but then undesignated them in February. As a result, some people just moved across the street from Victoria Park, where they had been before. There are now 4 designated places for people to erect tents, and as a result, the encampment at University Avenue has grown from a place that had space for just 6 tents to now 12. City planners must really struggle to understand how encampments are communities. Of course, an encampment would grow from 6 to 12 tents. 6 tents is nothing. People want to be together, and they really should have expected that this was going to happen. No one from municipal staff agreed to an interview on Wednesday for this story. The article doesn't mention anything that could be done to make the situation better, whether building social housing or whatever. It's reported as being something that exists and that people have opinions on, and that ultimately is just a sad state of affairs. Next to Red Deer for a story that deals with suicide. The Red Deer Advocate is reporting that a student at Red Deer Polytechnic has committed suicide. Now, on social media, reports say that the student self-immolated. But from the Red Deer Advocate, we get nearly no information, just that the police responded to a mental health call and that there was a quote-unquote small fire at the base of the green sculpture of the college's logo, and that, quote, an orange tarp was placed over the sculpture. A 6-foot fence was set up around the sculpture as well, unquote. And that's it. The university issued an email that said nothing at all about what happened, but did tell students that if they were interested, they could have free and confidential access to counseling. It seems like too important of an event to leave the official line to the RCMP and the university administration alone. Next, there is a crisis in the world of baby formula. The average price of baby formula has jumped by 30% from February 2022 to February 2024. Angela McIver from CBC reports that making things worse is that in Nova Scotia, there is a shortage of the no-name brand of formula, which usually gives parents a cheaper option. When the Costco Kirkland brand formula reappeared on shelves, Samantha Nicholson ran to stock up. She noted that the price had climbed from $28.99 to $43.99 and only lasts for 3 days. If you have a kid that reacts poorly to lactose or something else and you need a specialty can, those can push as high as $70. At the North Grove in Dartmouth, parents regularly come in asking for formula. The ED, Wendy Fraser, said that they can usually only give out formula to one of every 7 people who ask for it. McIver talks with a doctor named J. Matthew Abraham, who calls for formula to be covered in Canada's proposed PharmaCare program, which right now only covers birth control and diabetes medication. That's actually how I paid for formula when my kid needed it and was a baby. It was prescribed to my kid so that we never paid for formula directly. It was always covered by our drug plans because my kid was diagnosed as needing it medically. I've always thought that that's something that has to be added to everybody's drug plans and then just given out to free for everybody not covered by a drug plan. The story doesn't mention that company in Kingston that governments gave grants to set up a Canadian formula company. Do you remember that from previous episodes of the Daily News? It's too bad because infant formula is a key part of food security. And if we can't produce it in Canada and regulate the price so that people pay either little to nothing for it, then what are we even doing? Anyway, the story features a picture of formula at a Shoppers Drug Mart behind glass to make it hard for people to steal it. I know, Shoppers, a place regularly engaged in theft, is trying to stop desperate parents from feeding their children. Remember that if you see someone shoplift baby formula, no, you didn't. And by the way, the story interviews two different women who've both named their kids Lila. So heads up, if you're looking for a new name, to maybe avoid Lila or pick Lila. And this will be this generation's Jennifer. Next, not sure if you felt that, but the world's largest election just started. It's happening in India. There are seven phases in India's general election, which Al Jazeera calls mammoth. The first phase has just started. There must be a voting booth within 2 kilometers of every eligible voter in the country. And so you can imagine that pulling off this election is an enormous logistical feat. Nearly 1 billion people are eligible to vote in the election. In phase one, elections are open in 102 constituencies in 21 states. The National Democratic Alliance, led by Narendra Modi's party, the BJP, is facing off primarily against the Indian National Congress. If Modi wins, it will be a record third term for him. Here is how Al Jazeera explains the main opposition. Quote, "The opposition India Alliance, largely a center-left grouping of more than 24 disparate parties, says a victory for it is essential to save the country's democratic and secular setup, lift its marginalized communities, raise prices for farmers, and create jobs for its young," unquote. The count will start on June 4th, so stay tuned. And finally, Jillian Kessler-Damour with Al Jazeera is reporting that dozens of Haitians have been deported from the United States, even though Haiti is in a severe crisis right now where social institutions are in collapse. The flight had some 50 people on it. There was no information about where it took off from or where it was supposed to land in Haiti. On Thursday of last week, 74 Haitians were deported by ICE agents on a flight that started in Louisiana, went to Miami, and then arrived at Cap Haïtien. It was the first deportation flight to Haiti since January. U.S. Democratic Representative Cori Bush said this, quote, "Haiti is facing one of the world's worst humanitarian crises right now. The United States government has a moral responsibility to adopt a humane approach to helping Haitian immigrants fleeing these horrific conditions," unquote. Those are your headlines for Friday, April 19th. I'm Nora. I said that I was in Edmonton. I'm in Edmonton tomorrow at the Citadel Theatre, Sandy and Nora Live. There are still tickets left. You can get them at the Citadel Theatre box office. And yeah, I'm recording in the fitness studio because in my room, there was not a single location that I could do this without so much backroom noise because it's just buzzing and humming and appliances and noise everywhere. Honest to God, I tried every corner of my hotel room and I couldn't get any good sound. So here I am sitting on the floor, my feet up on top of a treadmill, and I'm doing the daily news for you like this. Oh my goodness. Well, it is Friday, so I hope you have a wonderful weekend. As always, you're listening to this podcast at sandynor.com, on the Real News Network podcast feed, and anywhere you get your podcasts. Hope to see you at the show tomorrow if you are in Edmonton or anywhere near Edmonton. We're going to have a lot of fun. It's at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, followed by a reception, and I hear there's going to be ice cream.